For more information about Ancient Dragon Zen Gate and Tygon's teaching, please visit us at ancientdragon.org.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I start the talk on section 5 in this book, page 62. When Buddhas are truly Buddhas, they don't need to perceive they are Buddhas. However, they are enlightened Buddhas, and they continue actualizing Buddha. In seeing color and hearing sound with body and mind, although we perceive them intimately, the perception is not like reflections in a mirror or the moon in water. When one side is illuminated, the other is dark. So in the first part of this section, Dogen Zen said, when Buddhas are truly Buddhas, Buddhas don't need to perceive they are Buddhas. As I said this morning, in this part of Genjo Koan, Buddhas does not necessarily certain group of people who have completed practice and attained Buddhahood. But there is one fascicle of Shobo Genzo entitled Gyo-butsu-i-gi. Gyo is practice, and butsu is Buddha, and i-gi means one of the English translation is dignified conduct. So Gyo-butsu-i-gi commonly read as practice Buddha's dignified conduct. But Dogen Zen read this expression, Gyo-butsu-i-gi, in very different way. He put together the first one, Gyo, and second one, Butsu, and make this Gyo-butsu as one word, and i-gi as another word. Usually, you know, Butsu-i-gi, Buddha's dignified Buddha's Iyi, Buddha's dignified conduct is one word, and we practice it. But Dogen Zen read this as Gyo Butsu and Iyi. That means Gyo Butsu is a name of a Buddha called Gyo. That means practice. So he read this Gyo Butsu as dignified conduct of Gyo Butsu, the Buddha whose name is practice. So Gyo-butsu is the name of a Buddha. And actually, that is our practice. So our practice is Buddha. To me, this is very interesting. You know, there are three Buddha body, as you know. Dharmakaya or Dharma body, and Sambhogakaya and Nirvanakaya. But it seems Dogen offered another kind of Buddha body called practice body of Buddha. So our practice is Buddha, even though we are deluded human beings. When we sit and letting go of our karmic way of viewing things, and then we just sit. And in Bendowa, in the part of Jijuyo Zammai, Dogen Zenji said, "Friend, even for a short time, friend, we display Buddha Mudra with our entire body and mind." This Buddha Mudra, as I said yesterday, Mudra is same as a stamp or a seal or a signature. So when we display our Buddha Mudra, this practice belongs to Buddha. It's not my practice. It's not my personal attempt to make me a better person. But when we sit with displaying Buddha Mudra with, you know, body and mind, that means upright posture and holding hands like this as a cosmic mudra, and breathe deeply and keep our eyes open, not sleep, and let go of thought. This is our zazen. I will say our zazen. But this is not this person's zazen, but this is Buddha's zazen. So that's why Dogen said our zazen, or shikan, just sitting, is not a human practice to make us, to deluded human beings, into enlightened Buddha. But he said, this is Buddha's practice. So Buddha practice Buddha. So when we practice, this practice is Buddha, or practice Kaya or Buddha. And when we practice, we don't see we practice. We don't observe ourselves and make judgment, you know, this is Buddha. If we think, you know, I'm not Buddha, but my practice is Buddha during Zazen, that is not Zazen. That is, you are thinking that your practice Zazen is Buddha. So even during Zazen, not only Zazen, when we really just doing with whole body and mind, there's no practice Zazen. Yeah, it's Buddha. So even when Zazen, making judgment whether I'm doing good or well or not good, we really just do. So there's no such separation between practice and the person who is practicing. You know, there's a book entitled Thought Without Thinker. And this is important, you know. This is one of the point of Nagarjuna's discussion. There's no action, for example, there's no action of running without a runner, but it's can be vice versa. There's no runner without action or activity of running. You know, excuse me. He said, we cannot say a runner is running. In this case, when we say runner is running, then it seems like there's a certain person who is a runner, even when the person is not running. And this runner is running. But if when the person is not running, it's like there's a certain person who is make this person a runner. So there's no such a person called runner, except action, activity of running. So there's no such person who is practice, who is practicing without practice. So practice is me, and I am practice. If we think I am practicing, and we judge whether my practice is good or not so good, then there's a separation between my action and the person who is practicing. When we are actually doing such a thing, when we are not really practicing 100% being right now, right here, we are observing what we are doing. There's a separation. But when we are really wholeheartedly practice, for example, sitting, beside this sitting, there is no such person called shohak or a sitter. This is what, you know, Buddha does not need to perceive themselves, Buddhas. There's no need, but there's no possibility. We cannot. When we are perceiving, then we are observing something and perceiving and making judgment. But that is not samadhi. Samadhi is being one piece. That is another meaning of just sitting. Just sitting means only sitting is there. There's no separation between person who is sitting, or sitter, and sitting. Only sitting is there. You know, the mindfulness in Chinese is Nen. And this Chinese character Nen is interesting. The upper part of this kanji, Chinese character, means present moment. And lower part of, maybe I should. This is Nen in Chinese, and this is what means, you know, mindfulness in Chinese. One of the Eightfold Noble Paths is true or light mindfulness in Chinese, that is Shou Nen. And this upper part of this kanji means ima or now or present moment. And this part is Shin, that is mind. So this kanji, Nen, Kyam, this kanji means ima or now or present moment. And this moment is Nen. And this Nen also means to be mindful. And in this case, mindfulness in this Chinese expression means our mind is here, and right now. But often, even when we are sitting and our body is here, our mind is can be somewhere else, somewhere in the past or somewhere in the future or somewhere else at this moment. Whenever we find our mind is not here, right now, at this moment, we return to this moment. That is our practice of mindfulness. Even though our body is here, sitting in Zazen Do, we find our mind is not here, right now, at this moment, we return to. That is called mindlessness. Our mind is not here. Our mind is in the past. Or often, even when I'm sitting here, if I think about what's happening in Bloomington at my temple, then my mind is not here in Chicago, but my mind is in Bloomington. Then I'm not mindful. So to be mindful means both body and mind is right now, right here. Whenever we find our mind is somewhere else, to just return to this moment. and what we are doing. So in the case of Zazen, just sitting and return to this posture and breathing. But for example, when you are working in the kitchen, you need some kind of some thought, thinking, to see what I'm doing. No, when we chop grass, vegetables, we just chopping vegetables. But we need to grasp, you know, for what this vegetables is using. It must be exact size or shape. So we have to grasp some kind of thought that is necessary to work on cooking. But whenever we think something beside cooking, then we stop it and return to what we are doing. That is our mindfulness in cooking, focus on just cooking. But whenever we think something beside cooking, then we just do it. That is a practice of mindfulness. So focus on what we are doing right now, right here. So there is a story, not in Tenzo Kyokun, but in Jishingi, Dogen Zenji introduce stories in of one Chinese Zen master whose name was Mu Jiaku. When he was cooking in the kitchen, it said Monjushi appeared above the pan, above the pot he was cooking. Then the Zen master hit the Monjushi with a ladle. Then Monjushi disappeared. This is an interesting story. You know, Monjushi is that Monjushi?
Yes.
Monjushi is a bodhisattva enshrined in the Zendo. So when in the story, when it said Monjushi appeared on the pot when the person is cooking, means the person was thinking about Zazen. Usually, you know, when we are sitting in the Zendo, I feel, you know, cooking in the kitchen might be better. But when we are cooking in the working in the kitchen, we think, I want to sit. So often we think what I'm doing is the worst thing. There must be something better than what I'm doing. But that is really distraction. We are not right now, right here. So when even a Monjushi appeared, when the person is working in the kitchen, we should hit the Monjushi, then disappear. This hitting the Monjushi is same as letting go of our thought and focus on what we are doing, in this case, cooking. So there's no separation between our action, our practice, and the person who is doing this action is important point of our practice of mindfulness or samadhi. So practice Buddha does not or cannot perceive that they are Buddhas. But we need to be one with what we are doing. Even though they don't think, they don't perceive, they don't think they are Buddhas, still within this wholehearted practice, practice at one piece, you know, Buddha is manifested. So we can't perceive that we are manifesting Buddha, but Buddha appeared of itself beyond our observation. There's no such separation between observer and things happening. We are really one together with all beings. When we practice in such a way, it's said, in seeing color and hearing sound with body and mind, although we perceive them intimately, the perception is not like reflections in a mirror or the moon in water. When one side is illuminated, the other is dark. This means this is also about the self and mirror dharmas, or self and what we are doing. Or when we do something, often we have some something in the case of chopping vegetables, we disperse and the action of chopping and vegetables are there. But in this case, those three things are really one. That is what to be intimate means. Vegetables, we disperse and the action of chopping and of mindfulness or samadhi. We and all beings within and without ourselves are actually one. That is what Dogen Gyari want to teach us. That mean, and to do so, he used the expression Zenki. Zen is entire or total. Dogen Gyari want to teach us. That mean, and to do so, he action. That means within this network of interdependent origination, we do something with other beings. The person is doing, and there are things working with that person are really working together. The in the in the Heart Sutra, it's not only Heart Sutra, but there are six sense organs and six objects of sense organs. Sense organs are eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind. And object of sense organs are color or shape, sound, smell, taste, touch, and object of mind. Those six sense organs and six objects of sense organs are called 12 sense field. And when those sense organs and object of sense organs encounter, something happens inside of ourselves. That those are called consciousness. Eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, and mind consciousness. Something happens inside of ourselves. That those are called conscious or 18 elements of our life. And that is all we experience. That is entirety of our world. The sense organs and the object of sense organs and things happening when these sense organs and object encounter each other. That is what Buddha taught. But the Heart Sutra said there's no eyes, no ears, no tongue, no body, and no mind. And no color, no sound, no smell, no taste, no touch, no object of mind. And no eye consciousness, no ear consciousness. So the Heart Sutra put mu or no in each and every one of those 18 elements. This mu or no means those 18 elements are not 18 independent items, but they are working together. means those 18. I doesn't work by itself, but I, ear, nose, tongue, and body working together. You know, when we eat something, we taste the taste of the food with our tongue, but not only with our tongue. The color of the food and the smell of the food and the taste and the touch of the food in the mouth are all very important part of our eating and tasting. So those six sense organs really working together as one. And even as it is said, we are what we eat. We, our food are actually one. We are what we eat, not only eating, but we are what we see. We are what we hear. We are what we, what is next? Smell, taste, touch, and we are what we think. Those, we are what we hear, we are what we drinking or smelling are really one thing. That is what Dogen Zenji meant, total function. That means, you know, within this network of interdependent origination, total function. Influencing each other, or this universal movement, and even our activity is part of that entire function of this entire network. You know, we cannot do anything this beside what these five skandhas can do. And, you know, even though we think we drive a car, when we are driving, we think we drive a car, so I'm an owner of the car, and I'm a driver or operator of the car. So I'm the subject, and I'm a car is an object of my action of driving. And that is our common sense. But in a sense, you know, we are driven by the car. Because our car has certain shape and certain way of functioning. We have to learn how to operate the car. Because, you know, steering wheel shapes, that's, you know, circle, somehow we learn what is the best position of using steering wheel or accelerator pedal or a brake pedal. You know, the shape of the car, the function of the car drive us and make us do in certain way. Otherwise, we make a problem. We make an accident or we cannot drive. So in that sense, in a sense, a car is driving us. So our action of driving and the car is working together. This is only simply one activity. That is what Zenki or total function means. And our intention, our ability, our like and dislike is a kind of a tiny part of that total function. You know, in order to sit in the Zendo in the early morning, we have to wake up. You know, I usually wake up at 4:30 in order to sit from 5. To do so, I need some willpower, determination, that I wake up at 4:30 in order to practice Zazen at 5. But my you know, intention or my willpower is really tiny part of it. You know, somehow, not only my intention or my wish, somehow my entire body are participating in this, you know, wake up and putting on the robes and go down to the zendo. And not only my body, but also, you know, entire building of my temple is working together with me. And also people come to sit with me in the early morning. That is a very important part of my wake up. If no one comes, maybe I skip that. But if people come, I have to be there. That is, you know, because I'm an employee of my wake up. If no one comes, maybe I skip that. That is another, you know, element of my waking up. And of course, you know, because, you know, Earth is moving around the sun, and every morning sun come up, rising from the east. If sun doesn't come up, maybe I don't need to wake up. So everything is really participating, you know, my tiny action of wake up and go down to the zendo. It's not really my action. Entire universe helped me to wake up and put on robes and go down to the zendo and just sit. And even this just sitting without support of the entire world, I cannot sit even 1 minute. So actually, really, you know, this not only sitting, but this, even the sitting is not my action. Everything is working together. And my like and dislike, my wish, my desire, my intention, my willpower is really a tiny part of it. I think that is what this means. We perceive them intimately, but no such separation. This intimacy means there's no separation. So it is not like reflection in a mirror or the moon in water. Reflection in the mirror is there's something outside the mirror. And this something outside the mirror as object is reflected on the mirror. So there's some separation. Moving in the water is the same. In this part of Genjo Koan, in another part of Genjo Koan, he used another same analogy of moving in the water. But here, he used this as in a kind of a negative way. There's no such separation between mirror and the object and the reflection of it. So when one side is illuminated, the other is dark. That means, you know, when I do something together with all beings, this is my action. So from that point, this entire network is me. It's part of my life. But from another perspective, you know, there's no such things called me. There's only this total function. So when from one side, this is Shohaku's activity and everything allow me, help me, to support me to do this is part of me. But from another side, there's no such thing called me, but only thing is this network. I'm simply a not. So not is not there, not really there. only the relation or connection. And yet when we touch this one note, when we touch this one note, we touch the entire network. Do you understand the meaning? There are two sides. One is this entirety in me. But from another side, there's no such things called me, but this is simply the network. So when illuminate from one side, another side, me is not there. But when we see from this entire network, well, do I say same thing? From one side, this entirety is me, but from another side, there's no such thing called me. So in this case, me, self, is in the dark. Only this network. But from another side, this, in whatever we are doing, this entire network is a kind of a environment or background of my action. When I'm sitting, this entire network is sitting with me. When we are doing something else, for example, you know, playing football or playing baseball, you know, this entire world becomes the world of baseball. Or when we are really angry, you know, this entire world becomes a world of anger. So the self and entire Dharma network is really one thing, and we are working together. We are really angry. You know, this entire world becomes a world of anger side. There's no such thing called me. That is my understanding of when one side is illuminated, the other is dark. Or we can say the person sitting and the Buddha. When I think I'm sitting, Buddha is in the dark. But when this sitting is Buddha, then Shohaku is in the dark. Now I'd like to go to the next section. This is one of the most well-known part of Dogen's teaching. To study the Buddha way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be verified by all things. To be verified by all things is to let the body and the mind of the self and the body and the mind of others drop off. There is a trace of realization that cannot be grasped. We endlessly express the ungraspable trace of realization. In the first three sentences, first two are about Dharma, and the third sentence is about the Buddha way. And Buddha way, in this case, is the path we need to walk, actually, using our body and mind. So this is about our practice. So this English word study is not simply means studying intellectually, you know, some text about some idea or teachings. But as I discussed in this section 6, chapter 6, this study is a Japanese translation of Japanese word narau. Narau is actually to study, but Nadal came, Japanese word Nadal. This study is a Japanese translation of Japanese with, to become intimate with. And this as a Chinese character, I think if we have a book, the Chinese character in there, but for the people who don't have the book, this is a kanji or Chinese character for narau, or to study. And this part means wings, wings of God. And this part is white, but according to a dictionary, this can also mean a self, wings, wings of God. And this morning, a very bad bird came out from the egg. The bird cannot fly. But as a bird, it has potential to fly. A human baby have no potential to fly, but a bird has a potential to fly. But the bird, in order to, it has potential to fly. A human baby have no potential to fly by seeing their parents flying. So they have their potential already, but in order to that potential into reality actualized, the person, the baby bird, need to study how to fly. In a sense, that means the bird is study or practice or learn how to fly in order to become a real bird. So our study is not something separate. Study or practice or learn how to fly in order to become to. Become a real bird, actual bird. The baby bird need to study or learn how to fly. And in our case, in the human beings, we need to study become a real bird, actual bird. The baby bird need to study or learn how to fly. But can be a bird. Once that it become able to, the baby bird need to study or learn how to, but can be a bird. Once that we can have enough fake or mistaken or distorted image of ourself, and we are deceived by our self-images. So we have to study the self. So if I make a definition of what a human beings is, my definition is human beings is living beings. So we have to study the self. So because we don't know who we are. And there are many kind of different expressions. Human beings is living beings, food. So we have to study is our mind potential, what we ideally want to be, not want, need to, I don't know, need or want. But somehow, you know, it's like a egg or a baby bird within the, still in the egg and mother, parent bird together. Somehow, you know, when I had a question, as I said yesterday, and I have a question about life, somehow something appeared. and that became kind of attractive. And I didn't really understand. Then I did Uchamurasa's book. Somehow I was attracted, even though I don't understand. I can expect it. I could expect from this teaching and practice. Somehow I was almost sucked into there. So when I study Buddhism and Dogen's teaching, I'm really studying myself. But this, you know, five skandhas. And what is the most healthy way of life? When I did something I didn't want or I didn't like or it's not suitable to me, I feel kind of a sickness. And I don't think this is not what I want to do. In my case, you know, studying at the high school to go to a you know, prestigious university, I didn't like that. I didn't know, I didn't really understand why. But I thought that is not what I want to do. And I was kind of attracted to another way of life. I didn't know, I didn't really understand why. But I thought that is not what I want. So when we study the Buddha way, we study the self. And this also means Buddha way is not something outside of ourselves. But when we study the Buddha way, we study the self. And this also means Buddha. But when we think I study something, there is already separation between this person who is studying and that thing that is studied. And I don't have that thing or I don't understand that thing by this action of studying or practicing, that thing become my possession. That is a kind of idea of when we study or learn in the conventional world. For example, when I cannot drive, I study how to drive, and I get the driver's license. Then I can drive. But Buddha way is not something that something like that. Buddha way and the self is no separation. So when we study Buddha way, we study ourselves. Buddha way is not something that something like that. Buddha way. And next sentence is, to study the self is to forget the self. You know, when we study Buddha's teaching or Buddhist teaching, we study, you know, emptiness or interdependent origination, and we are existing as a within the connection with all beings. So in a sense, I'm here as a knot of those thread, but thread is transparent, so we don't see the thread. So we feel I'm an independent, individual person. But we can exist only within the relation and with the support by all beings, with this entire network. When we study this way of existence within the interconnectedness, we start to see, you know, this my self-centered idea, this grasping about me or myself, and think this is most important thing, and to make this person more powerful or more important is the purpose of my life. I think that is what we are taught in this modern society. But when we study Buddha way, we think that is not really true. That is what we are taught in this modern society. So we need to support. We need to live together with all beings and support other beings. I think that is what Buddha taught. So one thing we need to do when we see that reality is open our hand instead of grasping me. Open our hand and open our heart to other beings. We need to do when we see that reality is open our hand. To forget ourselves means to forget our self-clinging or self-centeredness and open our hand and be together with all beings. That's why Dogen says in the next sentence, to forget the self is to be verified by all things. Verified by all things means same as, you know, when all beings, myriad things come to the self and allow the self to practice. Verified by all things. Verified by all things means eliminated by all beings. When we open our heart, open our hand, we become liberated from our self-clinging. We are eliminated by all beings, and we are verified by all beings. And to be verified by all things is to let the body and mind of the self and the body and mind of others drop off. This expression, body and mind drop off, or dropping off body and mind, or in Japanese, shinjin datsuraku, is one of the most important expression in Dogen's teaching. There is a kind of a story, I think this is a made-up story, when Dogen was practicing in the Chinese monastery, his teacher, Tendo Nyojo Zenji, was walking in the Zendo. Then the monk sitting next to Dogen was sleeping. Then Nyojo said, Zazen is dropping off body and mind. Why do you just sleep? At that time, said Dogen had some kind of enlightenment experience. And that was a turning point of his practice. But not only me, but I think that story is a made-up story. Possibly by Keizan Jokin, who was the third generation from Dogen. Ehe Dogen, Koun Ejo Tetsugikai, and Keizan Jokin. And Keizan Jokin was the founder of Sōjiji Monastery, that is one of the two main monasteries in Soto Zen tradition in Japan. And more than 90% of current Soto priests are from Keizan lineage. I think all three priests, I think we are all from Keizan's lineage. and Keizan Zenji wrote a text entitled Denko Rok, or a record of transmission of light. This light is Dharma light. And he collect the enlightenment experience, story of enlightenment experience of each and every ancestors in our lineage, from Shakyamuni to Mahakashyapa, and Mahakashyapa to Ananda, and go to the 28th ancestor Bodhidharma, and Dharma is transmitted to China, and from Bodhidharma to Tendo Nyosho Zenji Dogen's teacher. And Keizan wrote until his own teacher, Tetsu Gikai Zenji, about their story of or experience of enlightenment. And for him, this enlightenment experience is the way this Dharma, light of Dharma, is transmitted. So without such a practice, enlightenment experience, there's no transmission. But I think that is not really true. This is my thinking. So, at least Dogen himself never wrote or taught about that kind of experience. So I started to talk on this expression, Shinjin Datsuraku, or dropping of body and mind. To understand what this expression means, I think we need to understand how this word was used by the original person who used this expression. And the original person who used this expression was not Dogen, but his teacher, Tendo Nyosho Zenji, or Kenton Rujin. Unfortunately, Dogen Zenji record his conversation with his teacher Nyosho in his journal, and the text is called Hokyoki. And this record probably was not intended to publicize. Dogen Zenji died, he never publicized Hokyoki. But after his death, his Dharma successor, Kōun Eijō, the second abbot of Heiji, found the manuscript in Dogen's room. So this is not for the public or even his assembly. So only for his own, probably. And in this text, Hokyoki, Dogen Zenji, Dogen had at least three conversations, dialogues, with Nyosho about this expression, body and mind dropping off, or Shinjin Datsuraku. And I introduced those three conversations in this book. The first one is page 81. Rujin, or Nyosho, said In the bottom of page 81, Lujin said, Sanzen, Sanzen is dropping of body and mind. And in, I think, Dogen Zenji's Shobo Genzo Zazengi, he said, Sanzen is Zazen. Usually, or often, Sanzen is used as a meeting with Zen teacher and have a question and answer. Especially in Rinzai tradition, Sanzen means is the same as Doksan meeting, have a private interview with the master. But Dogen Zen said Sanzen is Zazen. So when Nyojo says Sanzen, I think this is Zazen. So Sanzen is dropping of body and mind. Or Zazen is dropping of body and mind. And Dogen Zen quote this saying of Rujin or Nyojo many places in Shobo Genzo or Bendowa. So this is very important teaching of Nyojo for Dogen himself. And his statement continued, Sanzen is dropping of body and mind. We don't use incense burning, making prostration, Nembutsu, or reciting the Buddha's name, the practice of repentance, or reading sutras. We only engage in just sitting. This just sitting is Shikan Tada. So Shikan Tada and dropping of body and mind is closely related. So Nyojo said, Zazen is dropping of body and mind, and this is just sitting. And Dogen had a question. Dogen asked to Nyojo, what is dropping of body and mind? That is Shinjin Gatsuraku. Then I like Nyojo's answer. His answer is, dropping of body and mind is Zazen. So he said, Zazen is dropping of body and mind. And Dogen asked, what is dropping of body and mind? Nyojo said, dropping of body and mind is Zazen. Uchiyamaru said this is a really important point. Zazen is dropping of body and mind, and body and mind is Zazen. So what dropping of body and mind is not certain particular condition or state of mind or psychology, but just sitting is itself dropping of body and mind. Dropping of body and mind is Zazen, and Nyojo continues. When we just practice Zazen, when we're just sitting, we part from the five desires and remove the five coverings. So in this just sitting, we part from, we are liberated, free from the five desires and five coverings. Five desires means, I said, you know, from six sense organs, encounter six objects of sense organs, something happened. And this five means first five of six sense organs, except mind. And five objects of those sense organs. When we see something attractive, we have desire to gain that thing, to keep it with me. Or when we see something, we hear some you know, attractive music, somehow want to keep that music with me. That's why, you know, or many people have, you know, a decor, eyes, something, and we are often really listening. Keep the music with the person always. That is desire. So when we encounter some object, some desires are caused. But in this just sitting, Nyojo said, we are part from the five desires caused by the five objects of sense organs. You know, when we sit and facing the wall, even we have desire, we cannot do anything. And remove the five coverings. Five coverings are almost same as three poisonous mind. Five coverings, I think there's some. Where is it? Oh, okay, thank you. In page 83, see, these five coverings of the mind are greed, anger, or hatred. These are first two of three poisonous mind, greed and anger. And sleepiness or dullness, that is a problem in our zazen. And distraction, that is another problem of our zazen. Dullness and distraction are two obstacles in our zazen. And fifth is doubt. Those five are called five coverings. Those things covered our mind and prevent our mind function in healthy way. You know, greed and anger is two poisonous mind, and those three poisonous mind are, you know, when we encounter something attractive, we want to make it mine, my possession, that is greed. And when we encounter something we don't want or we don't like, we want to step away. But somehow they come without my agreement. So we become angry against those things. Those are first two of three poisonous mind. And sleepiness or dullness, when we are sleepy, of course our mind doesn't work, you know, clearly. And when our mind is in distraction, go this way or that way or this way or that way, and be very busy, or we focus on one thing, you know, thinking, then we cannot see rest of the world. So dullness and distraction are two obstacles, not only in our zazen, but also in our daily lives. And doubt, then it's kind of natural we have question, but when we have a question, we want to get closer to that thing and try to figure out what it is. But when we have doubt, we want to stay away. So doubt is another obstacle in our zazen. When we have doubt against that teaching about zazen, we cannot really handle, really be there, really practice wholeheartedly. So doubt is another obstacle. And Nojo said, within this just sitting, we are liberated from those five desires, desires caused by the object, and also five coverings, greed, anger, sleepiness, or dullness, and distraction, and doubt. Then Dogen asked another question. So Dogen Zenji had many questions. Not so different from us. Dogen's question is, if we apart from the five desires and remove the five coverings, we follow the same teachings as those of the teaching schools and are therefore the same as the practitioners of the Mahayana and of the Hinayana. The meaning of this question is, you know, Dogen Zenji was originally ordained as within the Tendai tradition, and in Tendai tradition there's a text of meditation practice called Makashikan. Makai means Maha or great. She is stopping and Kan is seeing. Stop and seeing is a translation of Shamatha and Vipassana. This is two sides of but Buddhist meditation practice, stopping and seeing. And probably when Dogen Zenji left Tendai Monastery and started to practice Zen, he thought Zen is really different from Tendai practice. So, you know, if we need to, you know, apart from five desires or five coverings, then that is the same with Tendai teaching. Why we have to do such a thing in Zen? So, until this time, Dogen thought Zen is something different, really different from Tendai practice of meditation. So he asked why we have to remove three poisonous mind. And there are certain teaching in, not only in Zen, but in Mahayana Buddhism, you know, there's a saying, delusion and enlightenment are one. So if we remove those desires or obstacles, we are already picking and choosing. I hate that, this is not wrong, this is not right, so I stop this. If so, there's a like and dislike, or good and bad. And that is not Zen teaching. For some, some common teaching of Zen, some Zen teachers teach in that way. Everything we do is expression of Buddha nature. So we don't need to remove any obstacles. Then Rujin said, Nyojo said, the descendants of the ancestor, this ancestor means Bodhidharma, the descendants of the ancestor should not dislike the teachings of the Mahayana or Hinayana. If a practitioner is against the sacred teachings of the Tathagata, how can such a person be the descendant of the Buddhas and ancestors? You know, one of the famous saying in Zen is separate transmission outside of teaching. And that means Zen is completely different from teaching and practice in the teaching schools. We directly transmit the mind, Buddha's mind, without using any record of Buddha's words. This direct transmission, or mind to mind, or heart to heart transmission, is outside of teachings, is one of the main part of Zen teaching in common understanding. But at least Nyojo Zenji didn't like that idea. And later, Dogen wrote, he also didn't like that idea. Kind of a separation between Zen and teaching schools. or sutras record of Buddha's word. He said, there's no such separation. Buddha's word is part of Buddha. Buddha's heart or mind is also part of Buddha. As a Buddha descendant or Buddha's children, we have to transmit both, entirety of Buddha's teaching. So in Dogen Zenji tradition, it's important to study sutras and commentary on the sutras or writing our understandings as Dogen himself did. You know, he wrote 95 chapters of Shabo Benzo. It's really a big text. And he discussed in many, you know, points of Buddha's teaching. So for us, studying sutras and Buddhist texts is important. This is the first conversation between Dogen and Rojo about dropping of body and mind. So in this conversation, Rojo gave admonition that don't separate Zen practice from teaching practice. So being liberated from five desires or five coverings is important. And he said, within this just sitting, we are liberated. So this sitting, this just sitting, within this just sitting itself is being free, being liberated from five desires and five coverings. And in the bottom of page 83, there's a second dialogue between Dogen and Rojo. Rojin said, the descendants of the Buddhas and ancestors first eliminate the five coverings and then remove the six coverings. He added one thing in addition to five coverings, and this six coverings is the six coverings consist of the five coverings. So first five are the same with those five coverings plus the covering of ignorance. So he added ignorance. So there are three poisonous mind: greed, anger, and ignorance are the final coverings. Even if a practitioner only eliminates the coverings of ignorance, that practitioner will be freed of the other five coverings. So ignorance is the basic problem, basic obstacle. Of course, this is true from the, you know, early Buddhism. Ignorance is the cause of all the suffering within samsara. But he said, in our zazen, within this just sitting, we are free from ignorance. Even if a practitioner only eliminates the covering of ignorance, that practitioner will be freed of the other five coverings. Even if a practitioner eliminates the five coverings, if ignorance is not removed, the practitioner has not yet reached the practice of the Buddhas and ancestors. So being free or liberated from ignorance is very basic point of entire Buddhist teaching and also our zazen practice. And within this just sitting, we are free from ignorance. at least according to Dogen's teacher, Myojo. And that is developing of body and mind. Then, in this time, Dogen didn't ask a question. I think so. Dogen immediately offered a prostration and expressed gratitude for this teaching. Placing his hands in shashu in this position, in shashu, he said, Dogen said, until today, I have not heard of an instruction such as the one you have just given me, teacher. Elders, experienced teachers, monks, and Dharma brothers here at this monastery do not at all know of this teaching. They have never spoken in this way. Today it is my good fortune to have received your great compassion through teachings that I have never before heard. So at least for Dogen, he never heard this teaching, just sitting, it itself being free from ignorance. This good fortune is a result of my connections to the Dharma in previous lives. And yet, now he asks a question. And yet, I would like to ask you another question. Is there any secret method one can use to remove the five coverings or the six coverings? So he is asking, is there any secret method to become free from ignorance? Then the teacher smiled, Myojo just smiled and said, to what practice have you been devoting your entire energy? That means, what are you doing? What you are doing, that is just sitting, is doesn't practice. This sitting practice is the secret method. Of, you know, this just sitting is the secret method of being free from ignorance. That practice is nothing other than the Dharma that removes the six coverings. The Buddhas and ancestors have not set up classifications in practice. So there's no such step-by-step practice in Buddha's teachings. They directly show us and singularly transmit the way to depart from the five desires and six coverings, and the way to be free from the five desires, putting one's effort into the practice of just sitting and dropping off body and mind is the way to depart from the five coverings and the five desires. So wholeheartedly practice this just sitting or shikantaza is itself dropping off body and mind and itself being free from five desires and five coverings. This is the only method of being free from them. There is absolutely no other. How can there be anything that falls into two or three? So only one, this practice, just sitting, is the way we become free from five coverings, the desires caused by the object, and five coverings, greed, five or six coverings, greed, anger or hatred, and dullness, distraction, and doubt, and ignorance. So basically, what Nyojo is saying is this just thing is itself liberation from ignorance. That means we don't take any action based on our self-centered or karmic view or karmic consciousness. We just open our hand. This opening our hand is a liberation from our karmic consciousness. And this doesn't itself is being free from ignorance. So we just put entire energy into this just sitting. This is the second conversation about just sitting, dropping of body and mind between Dogen and Nyojo. And there is another one that appears page 85. So Nyojo and Dogen have a conversation about this expression at least three times. And their conversation is very in detail. And Nyojo give a very clear explanation of what is dropping of body and mind and what is just sitting. And the third conversation between Dogen and Nyojo is as follows. The Zazen of Arahat and Pratika Buddhas, those are so-called Hinayana practitioners. They also have Zazen practice, but Nyojo said Zazen of Arahat and Pratika Buddhas is free of attachment, free of self-clinging. Yet, it lacks great compassion. Their Zazen practice is lack of compassion. So, here Nyojo is talking about another aspect of our Zazen practice. Our Zazen practice is a practice of compassion, not only becoming free from ignorance. Becoming free from ignorance is wisdom. So our Zazen is itself wisdom or prajna. But he said, this just sitting is also practice of compassion. Their Zazen, Arahat and Pratika Buddha's Zazen, their Zazen is therefore different from the Zazen of the Buddhas and ancestors. The Zazen of Buddhas and ancestors places primary importance on great compassion and the vow to save all living beings. So our practice of just sitting is our practice of vow to save all living beings. It's not our personal practice, personal activity to improve ourselves, but this itself is a practice of compassion to save all living beings. That is first of the four Bodhisattva vows. Beings are numberless, we vow to save them. And our practice of just sitting is a practice of this vow of saving all living beings. So we need to think what this saving all living beings means. Anyway, Nyojo continued. Non-Buddhist practitioners in India also practice Zazen, yet they have the three sickness, namely attachment, mistaken views, and arrogance. Therefore, their Zazen is different from the Zazen of the Buddhas and ancestors. Shravakas, Buddha's disciples, also practice Zazen, and yet their compassion is weak because they don't cooperate the true reality of all beings with them. This expression, true reality of all beings, in Japanese, Shoho Jisso, true reality of all beings, came from the Lotus Sutra, in the second chapter of the Lotus Sutra. And that, this expression, Shoho Jisso, is also very important in Dogen's teaching. I think Taigen said the expert of Dogen and Lotus Sutra, so ask him at this point. They practice only to improve themselves, and in so doing, cut off the seeds of the Buddha. They cut off the seeds of Buddha. Therefore, their Zazen is also different from the Zazen of the Buddhas and ancestors. In Buddhas and ancestors' Zazen, they wish, or vow, to gather all Buddha Dharma. From the time they first arouse body, mind. Buddhas and ancestors do not forget or abandon living beings in their Zazen. So in our Zazen, we sit together with all beings. That is a very important point. We sit together with all beings. They offer a heart of compassion even to an insect. Buddhas and ancestors vow to save all living beings and dedicate all the merit of their practice to all living beings. So we dedicate the merit or fruits or result of our practice to all beings. So in our practice of just sitting, we have nothing to gain. That is another meaning of good for nothing. In good for nothing is Saki Roshi saying, but this Saki Roshi saying is same expression with Dogen's expression, Mushotoku. Mushotoku means nothing to gain. So we don't expect any merit from our own practice. We offer the merit to all beings. They therefore practice Zazen within the world of desire. To me, this is really important. You know, there are triple world: world of desire, in which all living beings are pulled by desire. And second is rupa, or material world, world of materials. And the third is world of non-material, or arupa. And these two are considered the realms of meditation practice. So, in a sense, our goal of meditation practice is become free from the world of desire and enter the world of rupa realm, or arupa, or non-material realm. But here, Nyojo is saying kind of very strange. If we have a kind of a common understanding, common sense of Buddhist teaching, we practice, or not we, but he said Buddhas and ancestors practice within the world of desire. Because, you know, Buddhas and ancestors, or Bodhisattvas, practice and live and work together with all beings. And all beings are in the realm of desire. So our practice is not to go beyond this world of desire. We practice within this desire. And as a bodhisattva, we should not leave samsara. We need to stay in samsara, to practice with all beings, and to help all beings. And of course, we need help from other beings. So our practice is not a method to escape from samsara. And it is really clear in this teaching of Nyojo. So our practice is not a method to escape from suffering, but in a sense, we share suffering with all beings. And whatever there is, something we can help others, we do it. And our dhyan is part of that practice, that bodhisattva practice. So our practice of zazen is done within the world of desire. Yet, even within the world of desire, they have the best connection with this Jambu Dupipa. You know, Jambu Dupipa is referred to this world. In the Indian Buddhist cosmology, there are four continents around the Mount Smeru. And we are living within the southern continent named Jambudvipa. And this is the worst place. Mm-hmm. But Dogen said this is the best place. Because of suffering, we allow bodhicitta. We want to be free from suffering. If there's no suffering or no pain, no sadness, there's no need to allow bodhicitta. So, this world of suffering is the best place to encounter Buddha's teaching or Dharma. And Buddhas and also bodhisattvas like Avalokiteshvara are always within this world of suffering. So Dogen said, this is the best place to live because of full of suffering. Buddhas and ancestors practiced many virtues generation after generation and allowed them mind to be flexible. This mind to be flexible is another important expression. And in Japanese, this is nyūnan shin. The mind, nyū and nan, both means soft. It's not a rigid, solid mind or heart, but it's a soft and flexible mind, nyūnan shin. So our practice generate this flexible mind, and that is compassion. After this, Dogen made a prostration and then asked. So he has many questions. Made a prostration and then asked, what does allowing the mind to be flexible means? What is the Junan Shin means? Then Lujin said, affirming the dropping of body and mind, of the Buddhas and ancestors is the flexible mind. So this just sitting and dropping of body and mind is a flexible mind. This is called the mind seal of the Buddhas and ancestors. This is the mind seal. Is like a stamp. If we find this flexible mind, we can find the Buddha there. So this is called the mind seal of the Buddhas and ancestors. This Zazen is the mind seal, Shin-in of Buddhas and ancestors. That is the end of Nyojo's teaching. Then it said, Dogen made 6 prostrations. That means he completely accepted Nyojo's teaching. So this is a original teaching about the dropping of body and mind, and Dogen's his own record of his conversation with his teacher, Tendo Nyojo Zenji. Then we carefully read these 3 conversations. I think, you know, this the teaching in this conversation and the story in Denkorok about, you know, when Nyojo scolds the sleeping monk, Dogen somehow suddenly had enlightenment experience. You know, if that experience was before these conversations, then why Dogen need to ask what is the meaning of body and mind dropping off? If that happening taking place after these conversations, you know, Dogen already understood and accepted Nyojo's teaching. So to me, these record made by Dogen himself and that story of sudden enlightenment doesn't get along. And Nyojo and Dogen very carefully discussed about what the meaning of dropping of body and mind, and Nyojo clearly said, you know, it is just sitting. So dropping of body and mind is not a certain kind of stage or state of our psychology, something happen in our psychology, but that is a nature of our sitting. Sitting together with all beings actually is dropping of body and mind of the self, and dropping body and mind of others. That is what is said in Genjo Koan. That means when we sit, you know, we made a kind of a separation between me and the rest of the world by our thinking. I am this or that, and they are this and that. This separation is caused by our thinking. But when we just sit and letting go of thought, then this letting go of thought is letting go of this separation. And then we are actually being together with all beings. So in our Zazen, we put our entire body and mind on the ground of this network of interdependent origination. That is dropping of body and mind of the self and body and mind of others. So this awakening of this interconnectedness and living together with all beings is dropping of body and mind. So it's not a certain particular experience happened once or twice in our life. But our day-to-day practice of just sitting is itself dropping off body and mind, and itself a practice of living together with all beings. In a sense, we put our entire body and mind within the network of Buddha's compassion. And when Dogen says, you know, each and every drop of water is illuminated by the moonlight, this means this moonlight is a light of this network. And we are illuminated by this network. And maybe I can find that quote. But don't think, you know, this teaching of Dogen and Myojo about dropping of body and mind, and that, I think, made up story about his sudden enlightenment experience cannot be together, at least in my understanding. So that's why I think that is a made up story. Well, it's 5 o'clock. One more sentence in this section. Two more sentences. That is, there is a trace of realization that cannot be grasped. We endlessly express the ungraspable trace of realization. Realization is satori, but when I translate this as grasped, ungraspable, this word I explain in the section of this book. This word is translation of kyu katsu. Kyu means to be in rest, and katsu is to stop. So kyu katsu means actually there's no such trace. So the ungraspable trace of realization means traceless trace of realization. Traceless trace. Trace is like a, how can I say, our memory of what we experienced in the past. And because when I said, because I had such and such experience, I'm an enlightened person. That is a trace. But traceless means there's no such observation and judgment or perception. As Dogen said before, we just keep manifesting the Buddha without perception of being Buddha. This traceless trace, and so there's no such trace. But this is another difficult point. And yet, this traceless trace is a trace. This kind of idea of traceless trace is like came from one koan in Zen, expressed by, I think, Donshan or Tozan, about the path of the birds. Now, when birds migrate, those birds knew the path, and they go exactly the same path to the same place every year. So they know the path, but there's no trace. So no other beings cannot see the path of the bird, migrating bird. But I don't know why, but somehow descendant of the same bird somehow know the path, the trace. That means Buddha's and ancestors' path is also traceless. But somehow, if we have we are the descendant of Buddha's and ancestors, somehow we can see this is a path Buddha's and ancestors have walked, and we try to walk the same path, even though that is traceless. We can see the trace. That is the meaning of this expression, traceless trace. We cannot see such a trace. After there's no such trace, like a path of birds, migrating bird. But for those particular birds, the path is very clear. So there's no such trace in our Zazen practice. Still, when we practice Zazen, we find that trace. We see that trace. So trace is not there, and yet trace is there. You know, Dogen always points to from two sides. It's there, and yet it's not there. If we grasp one side, Dogen says that is not right. If we cling to another side, he says it's not right. So he always shows the, in a sense, this is a way, he shows the middle way between this and that. And our practice is walking this middle path that is has no trace. But somehow, when we practice following Buddha's teaching, somehow we see the trace. But if we say, I see the trace, that is a mistake. we endlessly express the ungraspable trace of realization. We express this traceless trace by just sitting, being free from self-clinging or ignorance. Ignorance about the impermanence, egolessness, or no self, and emptiness and interdependent origination. So, not simply studying and understanding the Buddhist teaching or concept of interconnectedness, but we actually walk the path, this traceless trace of Buddhas and ancestors. That is our practice of just sitting and dropping of body and mind. So dropping of body and mind is dropping of this wall or separation between self and other beings. So we drop off this separation or this boundary and see the reality in which we are living together with all beings. Well, five after five, maybe this is a good place to finish my talk. And if you have any question or comment about what I said or what is written in this book, please.
So this morning you said, sometimes we finish a period of Zazen and we think, oh, that was pretty good, or that was not so good. Mm-hmm. And you said that's not right, that's not true. I mean, it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. But what we're talking about this afternoon, like say if we were to finish a period of sitting and at the end of it we realized that our mind was someplace else for the bulk of the time, we shouldn't judge that, like, maybe that wasn't just sitting, that was something else that was going on during that time frame.
Well, if that is, excuse me, deflection.
A what?
Deflection.
Deflection?
If we do it during Zazen, that is not Zazen at all. But then after Zazen, you know, if I think I was very sleepy this morning, so during the period of Zazen, I slept a lot, or my mind was busy, as a reflection, that is okay. But and we try not to do it again. This is a repentance and vow not to do the same way. And to do so, we need to, not only during Zazen, but we need to make arrangement of entire our life. Otherwise, you know, if we, our life is not, stable. If we wake up until late in the night and we don't have sufficient sleep, it's very natural we become sleepy when we sit in a quiet place. So just say, I'm sorry, I slept too much during this morning. Zazen is not enough. If we find that, then we need to check our entire life. And we need to make arrangement about our daily lives in order to sit Zazen without sleeping. So if that is a kind of positive way, like a repentance, then it's okay. But if we judge because of that, I'm not a good practitioner, then it doesn't help at all.
Okay, thank you.
Please?
Yeah, I find, you know, the little bit of Dogen that I've read, he seems to be contradictory on the Rinzai school. Sometimes he praises Rinzai, sometimes he's very, you know, it's almost like coming to blows. But according to that, it would seem like he would say someone who's practicing, you know, anything outside of Shikantaza is not really practicing Zazen. Is that?
I don't know. Yeah, sometimes he is very severe expression, almost like a bit harsh, very harsh word, harsh speech against the kind of practice not accord with his understanding and his practice. And I think he broke the precept. And I like that. And because of that, I feel like he was an actual person, real person. You know, sometimes he needs to express his anger. And his anger is not for really attacking those people who have different idea or different practice, but this is a kind of a expression of his compassion to his to the people in his assembly not to make that kind of mistake from his point of view. You know, many Zen masters broke precept of not become angry. One of the most important Japanese modern Zen master was Nishiari Boksan Zenji, and he was always scolding his student, not only his student, but lay people also. He was always using harsh word, and not only him, but Sawaki Roshi was the same. He was always scolding. Whatever he found someone did some even small mistakes, he scolded. But Sawaki Roshi said, when he was scolding the student, within himself he was smiling. So his scolding is a kind of a expression of his compassion to allow those people to become a good monk. And he said if he had even a little anger within himself, he didn't express. So he used the harsh language, he was smiling within himself. So there's no anger. But student became frightened. Okay. Please.
When you were talking about obstacles to practice, and like some of the obstacles are sort of like reinforced with the precepts, and then there's obstacles like doubt. That's one that I can see why it's an obstacle to practice. But then, is it something that you work with in your practice that you actually want to get rid of, or is it useful in order to even practice, or is it always an obstacle to practice?
Well, as I said, I think doubt and question is different. When I have a question, like Dogen asked many questions to his teacher, you know, when we have a question, we want to get closer to that thing we're teaching and try to understand more clearly. That is a question, something I don't understand, so I want to check it out. But when we have doubt, we don't want to get closer. We want to stay away. And of course, this is a teaching about Buddhist practice. You know, if a Buddhist who is practicing Buddha's teaching have doubt against Buddha's teaching, or if we practice Zazen with this doubt against this practice itself, then we cannot really put our practice wholeheartedly. So, in that sense, doubt is an obstacle.
So
that is different. That is different from question.
Right.
You know, fine. I have been practicing for many years, but I almost always have questions about what this means, or why Dogen said such a thing, and am I a right person to practice this teaching? So there are many questions I have, but I really don't have a doubt about what I'm doing. Please.
Is like if you have, or not you, but like if I have doubts about my own limitations in practice, is there like an antidote to that? That is sort of, because I know like with anger, I think compassion is the antidote, and so with doubt, is there like a known antidote to find a way to work with your own limitations?
Well, to work on our own limitation, we need clear understanding of our limitation. We need to see the limitation. As far as we doubt about our limitation, we cannot practice, actually.
Oh, I was saying the doubt is the limitation, like, or seeing the limitation.
Doubt is itself limitation?
Yeah.
Not doubt about the limitation.
Or, yeah, or it's like, seeing a limitation in our own practice, and, like, doubting our own abilities in our practice to get past, you know, certain things, or to get, you know, I guess that's still sort of like, I mean, maybe that's, it's like the other side of like trying to get somewhere in practice, I suppose.
Well, of course we have a limitation.
Right.
You know, for 40 years to sit in cross-legged on the cushion is the most comfortable posture for me. But since last year, I cannot sit. That is my limitation for now. But if I think because I cannot sit on the cushion in full lotus or half lotus, my practice is not good anymore. I don't think that is the right attitude. You know, if I cannot sit on the cushion, or full lotus or half lotus, there must be some way to practice. And if even if I cannot sit on the chair, that means when I'm sick, I have to be, you know, in bed. Still, there's some way to practice. So practice is not limited in sitting or doing some very kind of difficult activity. For example, as I said yesterday, Uchiyamuroshi was very physically very weak person because he had TB. He transmitted TB from his first wife in his early 20s. So rest of his life, he lived with TB, and when he was at Antaiji, or rest of his life, most half of his lung didn't work. Or, you know, so it was really difficult for him to sit many times. So when he couldn't sit, he practiced chanting. Not chanting using mouth, but chanting the name of Avalokiteshvara, not Amitabha, Namo Kanzen Bosatsu. And he said this chanting of Namo Kanzen Bosatsu is not different from Zazen. So we need to understand, we think, you know, there's a limitation, of course, depending upon our physical condition. Sometimes we cannot sit. For some people, sitting is not possible at all. Or for some people, you know, sitting for 10 minutes is almost like a torture. So depending upon the conditions, there's a limitation. But we don't think, or we don't need to think, therefore we cannot be a Buddhist. We cannot practice Buddhist teaching. There must be some way. And that is why there are so many different kind of practices in, you know, many different traditions of Buddhism. So if, I don't think that is the right word. If we have some limitation or condition, we need to clearly accept, recognize and accept that limitation and try to find the suitable way of practice. So you don't need to think, you know, doubt your ability to practice Zazen, because Zazen is not only practice of Buddhism. That's why, you know, the word, you know, skillful means, you know, this Zazen, according to my teacher Uchan Roshi, this Zazen is practice without toying. Because we have, there's nothing we can play with. But Buddha also, because of his compassion, Buddha gave so many toys. So I don't think that word doubt is the right thing, right word to, how can I say, to think about the limitation of our practice. If we, you know, you have limitation or limit, you cannot practice Zazen, then you need to find something else. Okay? Please.
Yeah, I had a question this morning. I think you actually answered it in my mind this afternoon, but I want to make sure that I understand. You talked about Zazen being good for nothing. And it made me wonder, is it sort of like a white elephant? You know, something that's just for show? Maybe something, you know, when I think of something that's good for nothing, it's like something that people who have extra can do. You know, but then this afternoon, you were talking about how it's not our practice. And so, you know, and the one side being lit up and the other side being dark.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm thinking of the practice as being like me practicing, then it's really me as part of that good for nothing as well.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other side of it, if it's the net, the Zenki,
mm-hmm.
Then there's nothing to add to that. So mm-hmm. there's no me
right
there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. So then that's why there still is suffering, but the suffering isn't alleviated by the practice. It's getting caught up in the practice that causes, and everything else that causes the suffering.
Mm-hmm. I think. I'm not sure if I understand what you understand your question, but it seems it sounds good. I'm sorry, I'm a foreigner. This is my excuse.
I'm afraid I don't have an excuse.
Any other? Oh, please.
If you were in Seppo's place, how would you have responded to Tozan's question about the monks?
Maybe I just keep working, separating between rice and sand. No answer. Sometimes no answer is a good answer. Okay, please.
Was Dogen so angry at, when he was angry, was Dogen so angry at the Rinzai sudden illumination, enlightenment idea? Was he so angry at that because he believed it wasn't true, or that it was beside the point or not important or something that we shouldn't focus on necessarily?
I am not sure if Dogen was angry
okay.
against that practice or not.
Okay.
But at least that was not his practice.
Yeah.
That is not based on his understanding of Dharma. That is about his understanding of what Buddha nature is. You know, Kensho literally means seeing the nature, and seeing the nature means seeing Buddha nature. But this idea of seeing Buddha nature or discovering Buddha nature is based on the idea, you know, Buddha nature is like a diamond, and yet it's covered with rock and dust, so we cannot see. It is hidden. So first thing we need to do is to discover the diamond, hidden diamond. That is what Kensho means as a Buddhist teaching. But he is not agree with that theory of Buddha nature. That's why, you know, he wrote Shobogen of Buddha nature about his understanding of Buddha nature. And for him, nothing is hidden. So to find something is hidden is not his practice. So I don't know if he was angry or not.
Thank you.
Anything else? Please.
This idea about being in the network, or a part of the network, all things coming forth and verifying, being verified by the myriad dharmas. So it seems out that there's sort of this practice sometimes of seeing others as yourself, and seeing all things and how they influence you, or certain feelings, whatever arise from that. Do you sort of recommend that type of practice to go around seeing others as yourself? Because sometimes to me that feels like a little too much, like me. And that's not really forgetting the self.
Well, as I said, Dogen, well, not only Dogen, but the Buddha Dharma has always two sides. One is we are always together with all beings. And another is I'm not you, you are not me. Both are important. If we think, you know, we need to negate anything, everything individual, then it's not healthy. And yet if we think me is me first, this is most important, others, I don't care about others, that is also not healthy. So healthy way of life is to see both as an interconnection. You know, there are so many, you know, terrible things happening, and we cannot help if we, for example, you know, there are, you know, earthquake in Japan, and many people are still suffering. And if we think, I have to do something, and as a kind of a order, and yet I can't do. You know, actually, I was in Japan when earthquake was happening, but I cannot do. Besides, I'm doing my job. So I'm sad, but I have to also accept, you know, this you know, reality that I cannot do much. I can do only a little to help others. Mm-hmm. But this feeling of, you know, I'm sorry, or I cannot do, you know, more than this or that, is also a kind of evidence or proof that we are connected with those people. And problem and suffering is not only for them. We also suffer. And same kind of things may happen any time to us, not only for them. Even if there's no earthquake in this part of the country, there's something else. In Indiana, we have a lot of many tornadoes, and any time we might be hit by tornado. I think that is how we feel, not feel, but being together with all beings.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else, please?
Did you bring any more of your books for sale, or did you just bring a certain number?
I bring only one, my own copy.
Do you know if people put in an order?
Do they books for sale?
I'm afraid we don't have.
You can order from.
Order from. Yes.
Org.
Oh, that's better than Amazon. Yes. So go to the Sanshinji.
Sanshinji.org,
and you can order. It's a wonderful book. I recommend it.
Any question or comment?
Well, just thank you so much for coming, Jacques.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed being here and share Dogen's strange teaching.
And Jacques will be back
for nothing.
Jacques will be back tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning we'll have regular Sunday morning program. So no reserved seats, but Jacques will be here for the Dharma talk. So you're all welcome to come back again. And for now, we'll close with the four Bodhisattva vows.